We're truly thankful for the effort that each one of you made to be in the Lord's house this morning. And I pray that we'll have prayed and will continue to pray, Lord, to bless our time together this day. What I said about Wednesday night services, it was a great time. So please come and be a part of that if you will. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. The thing that's upon my heart and mind this morning is God's grace shown to no one. God's grace has been shown to each one of us. I'm sure this morning I can say with confidence that God's grace has been made manifest in a lot of places. And for that, I'm truly thankful. If you have your Bible this morning, I'd invite you to turn to the book of Genesis. Really easy to find this morning. Genesis chapter 6. And I'd like to read verses 1 through 8, starting then later in the sermon. I want to go to chapter 8. But if you think about that, we're all familiar this morning with Noah's Ark, aren't we? We sing songs about it. We tell stories about it. We have been, you see, Noah's Ark is out back of the church. If you want to look at it, if you go to the playground. So it's something that you look at and you think that it's just a vivid part of God's Word. And I think really when I look at the Ark, I think of God's grace. We were able to go up to Kentucky and see the reproduction of the Ark. And I tell you, it's a humongous piece of structure. And you think about God calling one man to build that. And it took grace for Noah to build that Ark. I mean, it is something that is to behold how large it is. But we sing about it. We think about how the animals went two by two into the door. We take and we, I guess you might say, fantasize it, how wonderful it is. But you know, really, every time I look at the Ark, I think about God's grace. God could have just said, hey, I just fold it all up. That's it. God has made everything out of nothing in the beginning. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created heavens and earth. He didn't say out of nothing, but I'll tell you, it was out of nothing. He spoke it into existence. And you go back and you study the first two chapters of Genesis, and you'll find where it was not evolution. I want to tell you that this morning. It did not evolve. It was not a result of billions of years of evolving, but it was God's handiwork that He created, and I believe it was in six literal days that we know, and then on the seventh day He rested because He was through with creation. And as I think about that, the God that we serve is an awesome God, and I want to tell you this morning, when He showed grace to Noah, that was a precursor to what we can experience as grace today as God's people. Because really, as far as I can tell, that grace came at a time when it was very critical for the survival of the human race. The Bible tells me, as I study and read throughout the Bible, you'll find that mankind had degenerated into a state of just perpetual wickedness and uncouthness and just vile, a vulgar type people. And God looked at it and He said, I've had enough. I've had enough. Because when you look back, you see when He created Adam, He created Adam in His image. And He was pleased with it. But sin ruined all that. And sin and Satan was having a field day. And God said, I'll just bring it to a halt. But then the Word of God says that Noah found grace. He found grace. God showed grace to him and his family. So creation continues. We're here today, if you want to know the truth of the matter, we're here today because God showed grace to Noah. And out of his three sons, we came out from those three sons. And we go back and we say, well, we all came from Adam. Well, I guess we did to a sense, but we all also came from Noah, if you get down right to it. Because he came back and it brought back into the gene pool, you might say, back to Noah. Three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. There's a lot of preaching in Ham, Shem, and Japheth. I'll tell you that this morning. If I understand it right, you know, we're probably from Japheth. But as we think about those things, but God was not through because God had made some promises that He'd send a Savior to redeem His people. And even though He said, "I'll just destroy it," grace was in the forefront of His mind that that promise that He had made would be kept. So I want to read it in the book of Genesis, chapter 6. And I want to read verses 1 through 8. And you hear it says that it came to pass. Have you noticed how many times in the Word of God it says that it came to pass? It came to pass. What comes to pass most times, many times, is things that God has prophesied, God has said is going to happen. And even like His son, it says it came to pass that she brought forth a child. So, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all they chose. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in with the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness, listen, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imaginable imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually." Thought of nothing but evil. "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and fowls of the air, for repenting me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Salvation. Saving of mankind, and Noah, and God used Noah for that. But when we think about it, we know also that it was a building an ark. And God came to Noah and he said, "You're going to build an ark." And at that time, it had never rained. He knew that. And it had never had rain. And he put him in there, and Noah was obedient. And he built the ark. And then we know the story. You go back and you look at it when all the species of animals, everything that came two by two. Of the clean animals, there were 70 that came into the ark. And you know, somebody said, I read the other day that the snails reached the ark by perseverance because they were slow, but they got there. And they came, and did you know that God closed the door? The Bible says that God closed the door of that ark. Put a seal on it, you might say, that this was going to work. And then, brothers and sisters, it began to rain. We think we have rain here. We do have floods. But that was a universal flood that began to come down on those things. And the rain came for 40 days and 40 nights. And it really, when you look at it and think about it, that was a lot of rain. But for 1 year and 10 days, if I've got it figured right, Noah and his family were shut up in that ark, doing what God would have them do while the cleansing of the earth took place. Cleansing of mankind, you might say, were destroyed. And really, it was a way they were protected from the destruction by the ark. And the ark is somewhat typical of Jesus Christ, if you want to get down to it. And they were saved for a new start. A new day for mankind and for the earth itself. And when we think about it, why? Why? Because God's grace found Noah. That's the way I'm going to put it. It's not New Testament doctrine. Grace is not. Grace really begins there with Noah. We also find that grace is other places where grace was shown. I think grace was shown to Adam, if you don't know the truth. When Adam had sinned and he knew he was naked, and God in his infinite grace made coats of skin for them, and they clothed in the clothes to cover their nakedness. It doesn't say that blood was led, but I believe that was an act of grace that God showed to them also. I'm thankful this morning for God's grace, brothers and sisters. I'm thankful. But 39 times in the Old Testament the word grace is used, and in the New Testament 124 times. So it's nothing new. But with grace, to Noah came the command to build, and he gave him the pattern. We talk about things having pattern, and he told Noah how to build that ark. He told him what size it was and all those kind of things. He gave details as how to build it, and he did it. And with that grace to build came grace to have faith. It took him 120 years to build that boat, that ship, that ark. It took him that long. And we're not involved. Do I know that? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 says for 120 years that they were building. Noah was faithful in obeying the Lord. Have you ever noticed that taking the Word of God and you begin to study when God commanded man to do something, if man obeyed, he was blessed? You know, I think sometimes we miss that. In obedience, God blesses His people. In disobedience, God will correct His people. He'll bring chastisement on them, and I'm convinced of that. But really, He was faithful in obeying God. And of course, we know after all this is over and they got on the safe shore and after the altar was built, for Noah got drunk. And he paid for that too. But he was a man like us, but he found grace. But I want to tell you this morning, God's grace is sufficient for everything that comes down the pike in our life. I think that's why Brother Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, he says, casting your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. May I tell you this morning, God loves His people. God cares for His people. And yes, we're sinners. We're sinners saved by grace. And I'm thankful this morning that we have that sweet assurance that we're all sinners. There's no doubt about that. But I'm thankful this morning that God's grace has found us as His people. May I tell you this morning that Paul found out in the New Testament when he was plagued by the thoughts of his mind, and he asked God to take away the thorn in the flesh, and three times he wanted that thorn taken away. I don't know what it was. I've got my ideas what the thorn in the flesh was. I think it was because he persecuted the church and probably killed some Christians. And God told him, He said, I'm not taking it away. But He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for whatever comes upon you. And I know that Paul, he was one of the martyrs. He was beheaded for the cause of Christ. But in obedience, he was blessed, and he was ready to go home to see the Lord. But rain fell for 40 days and nights. The fountain of the deep, the earth actually burst open. The water came out from the earth that was there, and it came down. And the world's life of man outside the ark and all animals that breathed were destroyed because of sin. You know, I believe the Bible says that the Lord's coming again when it becomes as it was in the days of Noah. You know, what was it? He said that their minds and their thoughts were continually evil and wicked. And we look around us today, and you know, it doesn't take you long to see that the national news and even local news now, it seems that man's thoughts and his ideas are becoming just wicked. No concern for others, just for his own self, but the wicked thing. But when we think about that, I believe we're getting close today. We need revival in America. But as that rain and it stopped, it took about 1 year and 10 days for the water to find that place and go down. And when it did, the Lord told Noah, go forth from the ark. And as he left that ark, knowing that he had been granted life and salvation and safety because of God's grace, I believe he had a desire to worship. To worship the one that had shown him that grace, the one that had given unto him the task of building the ark, a place of safety. And as he was there, had been there and dried up, and we know the story of how that He sent out a dove, and then he sent out the raven, and how that he came, and he uncovered the top of the ark, and then in a few days, when the word went, when the earth had dried, the Lord said, go forth. If you have your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 8 now. Genesis chapter 8, I want to read verses 13 through 20. And this gets to my text now, so if you got a rose in, don't worry too much. We'll probably have it out before it gets too done. But Genesis chapter 8, and I want to read verses now 13 through 20. And it came to pass. Did you notice a while ago it came to pass? And that it says, and it came to pass in the 601st year, the first month, of the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 720th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee, and bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, his sons and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, and all their kinds went forth out of the ark. Been successful, hadn't it? Life was preserved. God's creation had been preserved, and they came forth out of the ark to multiply and replenish the earth. Was what he was talking about. And then verse 20 is what it came here for. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Brothers and sisters, it was the altar of worship. Adoration, thanksgiving, and praise for what God had done for him. I'll tell you this morning, that I believe with all my heart, that offering, that altar that he built, and that worship that he experienced, that it was an altar of worship and through thanksgiving. It was not by constraint. God didn't say, go build an altar. No, he said, I want to build an altar. Because he came forth and look at it. And Noah began to worship. And I believe he worshiped through devotion. God was the first thing. Did you notice that today, in this day and time in which you and I live, probably what would have happened, man would have come out and he built the ark and he said, well, done pretty good. I'm going to build myself a monument. I'm going to put up a monument to me. I'm going to put up a monument to Noah. Because I'm the one that built the ark. I'm the one that God used to save the people. But it wasn't that. His first thought was devotion and adoration to the one that had brought salvation to his family. Worship through service. He did something that God had called him to do. He did something. He did not build his house, but he built a place of worship to worship God. I'll tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, God should be first in our home. God should be first in our lives. And really, when we talk about altars, we don't build altars today, but what did Jesus say to us to do? And Paul said in Romans, he says, what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Be thankful for the grace that's been shown to you. Our body can be an altar to the grace of God, whereby He's made us worthy of His love. And it's not because we were worthy and He loved us. It's because we were unlovable and He made us lovable and made us worthy. And really, what you think? I think what Noah did at this, and of course, you know, he said, you use a lot of speculation now. But what would cause him to, the first thing he wanted to do to build an altar? Because he put God first. He put God first. Today, Christ Jesus should be first in our life. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul. And may I tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is God. He's the Son of God, but He's God. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, but He's God. I don't understand all about, I know about that. But He says that we should love Him with everything that we are. In fact, what is He saying? Put it first. And then what does He say? That we should love one another. We should love one another as He loved us. Now you think about the sacrificial love whereby He has loved you. And we need to love one another. But also, if you look at it, think about it at that time, Noah offered the best that he had. The clean animals that were on that ark. It was unlawful to offer unclean animals, but he offered all those seven clean animals. I believe if I had just read it a while ago, right, he probably took one from each class and offered it unto God. He didn't wait for them to multiply, but yet there was enough out of that seven that they were enough to bring about an increase from that. But if you think about something else, that altar that he built there as he came out of that ark, it was an altar of separation. You might say there was a timeline drawn there before the flood and after the flood. What happened is a time when there was a separation from the old and looking forward to the new because of grace. And I thought about that a little bit this week. There comes separation in our lives. There's time when by the grace of God we do become separated from the old. And we start looking towards the new. And yes, grace brings separation, separating ourselves unto the Lord. And I believe it was a reminder to Noah what God had done as far as saving his family from disaster. It was an altar marking, I believe, the grace of God in his life, and the grace of God in preserving humanity, and the grace of God in even his creation. This act of worship and sacrifice was pleasing unto God. I tell you this morning, God is pleased when his obedient children will present themselves to God and present their bodies, their lives. I love you, Lord, with all that I have. He's pleased with that. And he'll bless with that. How do I know that God was pleased with that sacrifice? Because really, the Bible says it was a sweet-smelling savor unto God. Why do you suppose that was so? Because Noah's first thoughts were on God, and he took time to build an altar. He acknowledged the source of grace that had been shown to him. He gave of himself. He gave the best that he had to clean animals. He was thankful. And he realized the obedience by building the ark that it was beneficial. Obedience is beneficial to all of us when the Lord would have us to do something. He realized that the obedience in building the ark was beneficial not only to himself, but to his family also. And I'll tell you something this morning. We are often blessed. Let me say this. Don't take anything else away from this morning. Take this with you. We are so often blessed because of others. Maybe our parents, maybe our husband or our wife. But we're often blessed because of others, what others have done for us in their obedience. God uses us as witnesses. God uses us as testimonies. And God uses us sometimes as a beacon to draw folks to Him. God bless Noah and his sons and their wives. When we think about God's promises, God made a promise to Noah. Let's look in Genesis chapter 9 now. Sort of progression this morning. God made a promise to Noah that we still see. How many of you have seen a rainbow in the last 6 months? How many of you really asked, have you seen a rainbow in the last 6 months? Do you know what that's a token of? That's God showing his promise. What did he said, I'll put a bow in the clouds. And that bow is going to represent this one thing. God said that I'll never destroy mankind or the earth again by water. Yes, there's floods, but it's not universal floods. He put a rainbow. We got that song, God put a rainbow in the cloud. Yes, He did. But that was a sign of the covenant that He made with Noah. He also gave animals for Noah to eat, but He said, don't eat the blood. It's a sermon on that. I won't go into that. But the blood is not to be eaten. It's to be drained. Let's read Genesis chapter 9 now, verses 8 through 17. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I will make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. That includes us. Perpetual means to us today. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh upon the earth. God put a rainbow in the clouds. And that was a token of the sign of the covenant of His promise. The rainbow is representative of grace, I think. The bow is directed towards heaven, and the air in it, there's no arrow pointed. Because it's already been discharged. But it's a sign of the token of the grace of God to us today. And I look at it this way. When I say a rainbow, I say, praise God, He's still on His throne. He still rules. He still reigns. And He is God, and Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He's Savior, Master, Redeemer, Savior. God put a rainbow in the cloud. Noah built an altar because he wanted to worship. And he was blessed because he was obedient. And may we, as God's people, take a lesson from that. That's my prayer for us today as we leave, that we will know that in obedience, God blesses. In worship, God is praised. And then the token is this, my grace is sufficient. And may we realize that. Whatever the problem is, His grace is sufficient. Whatever the joy is, His grace is sufficient. Whatever the challenge is, His grace is sufficient for all the affairs in our lives. May God bless us that have been touched by God's grace to be obedient and be a praise unto God for His marvelous and redeeming grace that He's shown us. That's my prayer for you. Let us pray now. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the rainbow. Thank you for the promise. And thank you for the lesson of Noah. Father, help us, oh God, be obedient. And may we praise you for your grace. These things I ask in Christ's name for this people that are here this day. And amen. There should be one more here today that have a desire for a home, of course. Because you know that God's grace has been shed upon you, and you've not taken up the cross and followed Him in obedience. We invite you to do so today as we sing hymn number